Good morning, y'all. It's a real joy to see you guys. It really is. This week has been a little bit challenging for us around here. A teacher over at Trident passed away on Monday night. It was pretty sudden and unexpected. So we've been having good times with them, literally. Sarah and I walked over there. We took a gift from the school and a card, and they received us and just started crying just to have someone else there with them. So we've been, Sarah and I, intentionally focusing on greeting each other and being grateful for the time we have with one another more than ever. So it really is good to be with y'all this morning, and I enjoy seeing everyone and coming together. We're going to do something a little bit different next month in February here at DaySpring. What we're going to do is we're going to break up into classes. And what we're hoping it'll do is kind of get us talking with each other more about what we believe in the scriptures. And we're going to have three different topics led by elders. And you can choose which topic you go to, and, you know, we won't take attendance. It's not like that. It's just let's come together, and the three topics are going to be this. Sarah is going to be leading a class on being unoffendable, all right? Gray is going to be leading a class, sort of an open forum, and he's going to pick topics every week, and it's going to be more discussion-oriented and question-oriented. And I believe the first week's topic is our identity in Christ. And then the UHASes are going to be leading a group called Raising Kids in Today's World, and it's also a discussion and prayer group. And I think if you raise kids at all in any fashion or form, whether they're yours, your cousins, or you're a teacher, that might be, or you want to have kids one day, that might be something to go to. So we're going to have three different classes. We'll come and worship together, and then we'll break up and go to the classes. And we're going to do this every Sunday in February. And we'll even let you, if you want to move around and change classes, that's fine. You're not locked in. So if you want to try them all, that would be great. And just kind of get closer together and talking amongst ourselves instead of just always one person at the front talking. I like that part, but, you know. I think it's going to be good, y'all. I'm excited about it. I don't know which class I'm going to yet. I'm married to one of the speakers, so I'll probably end up in that class, but I might go move around a lot. So really want y'all to come and enjoy that together. All right? So this morning, I want to invite Grace Parker up. She wants to share something, I've asked her to, that's going on in her life that I think is pretty cool. So Grace, come on up. Some of you know Grace. She's helped lead worship with us a few times. She's a Crown student. She's been at Crown for 5 years, and this is her senior year. So here we go. Cool.
Okay, I'll start with some background information first. Recently, I got an interview with Princeton University up in New Jersey, and it was this crazy, amazing opportunity that kind of just fell into my lap. But I want to start with like the backstory of that first. So I'm the oldest of five, and I have three siblings that are adopted, two from China, one from Guatemala, and my biological brother, Shane. You all know him. He's the one that doesn't wear shoes anywhere. But I, through adopting my siblings, I kind of fell in love with the idea of like international relationship and travel and really like bringing together community and like seeing healthful change in people of other countries' lives. And there are a lot of opportunities that come with that, but not a lot of schools have majors with international relationship. It's just a very specific field, and there's lots of hours, and usually you go into grad school afterwards, and there's not any in-state schools either that really have that as a specific focus. But I did apply to College of Charleston, and because it's a school I can afford, and it's still in a really awesome school. But, of course, all the schools that do have international relations as a full major are the Ivy Leagues. And I was like, oh man, Ivy Leagues. There's just no way. Like, the people that get into Ivy Leagues are people that like start their high school career thinking, you know, I'm going to Princeton or I'm going to Yale, and they study all the time and they like make sure that they're getting roles in clubs to be presidents. And I was like, I just can't do that. There's no way. I don't have time in my schedule. I can't. But one day, my mom was talking to this lifeguard at the pool she works at, and she was like, hey, my name's Jessica, and I go to Princeton, and I'm studying international relationship. And my mom was like, hey, we should talk. You want to get coffee sometime? And Jessica was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'd love to. She ended up texting me and emailing me some stuff, and we, like, kind of hit it off, and she invited me to come stay with her a couple of months ago for, like, an extended weekend in Princeton, and, of course, I was happy to oblige to fly up there and hang out at the college, and it was amazing. The experience was awesome. All the people there were super friendly, and I was ecstatic because now I had a connection at an Ivy League, and I was like, oh, God, what do you want to do with this? Like, where are we going here? This is not something that I could have put together myself. All right, I'll go with it. So I went up there and took like 15 classes or something over the four-day period I was there. Got to go to New York for the first time. Got to hang out and meet all these crazy people that are passionate about their majors. Some of them are like very intense majors, like electrical engineering and stuff like that. But Jessica was super friendly, and I got to go to all of her classes with her and learn about diplomacy and international trade and healthcare, and it was super inspiring. But then I was like, oh man, this is a 6% acceptance rate. How on earth is this gonna happen? I had already taken like 4 SATs, and my scores were just under what I was hoping for. And then I applied. I was like, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just going to do it. Like, what do I have to lose? 6% acceptance rate. I'm going to go for it. So I did, was praying about it, and then got an email not too long ago that I had an opportunity to interview, which is awesome. And every applicant does go through an interview process just to, like, weed out some people that are, like, applied for a joke or, like, you know, are a little bit sketchy, kind of weird. But I got an email from this guy named Jim Buxton. He's a lawyer here in Mount Pleasant. He graduated in 95 with a degree in history. And I was like, awesome, super nervous, very, very nervous. But I agreed to meet him at Starbucks like 2 weeks ago and got there. And I was like praying about it, Lord, help me say the right things, help like this go well. And the day before I had been nannying for these people that I consistently nanny for. And just mentioned the interview, and they were wishing me luck, and they asked who it was, because they're in, like, banking and stuff, and she was like, oh, Jim Buxton? He's a great friend of ours. We'll give him a call and let him know. And I was like, okay, thanks. Sounds great. Had all this, like, connection beforehand. I went in, like, confident to use that as, like, an icebreaker. Oh, you know the Walpoles? They're so nice, right? Got there and met him, super friendly, really easy to talk to. And I was sitting there and he goes, you know, you look familiar. Do I know you from somewhere? And I was like, I've never seen you in my life before, but maybe. And he was like, no, do you work somewhere? Like, do you have another job? And I was like, oh, yeah, I work at Red Drum. It's just a restaurant on Coleman. And he sells wine to my bosses there. And he was like, oh, Charlie and Ben, love them. They're amazing. And I was like, Jesus, where are you at? That's so weird. Met him and like 2 connections right off the bat. It was super awesome. We like talked about the restaurant, talked a little bit about wine, even though I don't know anything about wine, and just like walked right into it with these strong connections of like friendship and like mutual trust. And like I've gotten recommendations from both of those people for my application. So he not only has like the ability to meet me and hear my story, but now he knows like with some reformation that I am who I say I am. He knows these people. So 5 to 10 minutes into the interview, I'm still sitting here, and he's asking the typical questions like, why Princeton? What is your scores? Like, what's your grade point average? And I was like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then we start talking about like my adopted siblings and why I want to go to Princeton and what like international relations means to me. And like just out of the blue, he stops me and he goes, you know, something's different about you. Something is definitely different about you. You're your name, aren't you? And I just like looked at him and was like, thanks. Wow, that's amazing. So I was sitting here and like we started talking more and all these doors just started opening. And I found out that he's a Christian too. And we were talking about worship and about like all these amazing things that Jesus was doing. And as we were sitting here, he was like, isn't it awesome that we have a God that just, like, that gets it, and, like, you want to do international relations because you want to make those connections with people, and I love that, and, like, he's the foundation we get to fall back on, and, like, we're really living. We're actually living, and you get it. You're so young. So many people don't get it, but I get it, and you get it, and it's the best. And then we high-fived over Starbucks coffee about how great Jesus was. And we were just, like, sitting there, and I was, like, trying not to cry worship tears, like, what's happening? Continue the interview, and we're sitting here, and, yeah, just, like, over and over, and, like, all these things in the back of my mind are, like, you can't get into an Ivy League. You don't have, like, president of the robotics club for 4 years. You don't have, like, you know, A-plus honor roll, like, all of these 4 years. But as I was sitting here, he, like, even looked at me, and he was, like, I think that the potential that you have and the heart that you have is something that is, like, almost impossible to find nowadays, especially in young people. And I'm telling you that I hope Princeton sees the kind of arrows that are in your quiver. And even if they don't, I want to keep in touch with you because I know you're going to do something insane. And I was like, okay, that would be cool with me too. And so just, like, all these doors flung open, and by the end of the interview, we were shaking hands, and he was like, I cannot wait to write a glowing review for your application. Because this interview process was not only to, like, weed out some people, but to add a supplement to my application as an alumni, their opinion, whether they think that I would fit into Princeton and the atmosphere there, if they think that I would benefit not only the college, but the college's name, and do what I want to do afterwards, and really, like, change the world for the college, yes, but, like, in the broad scheme of things too. And he believes that I can do that. And it was just this crazy experience to be sitting there and to, like, be working really, really hard these past couple of, like, months, just, like, pounding out the SAT, pounding out the ACT, trying to work as much as possible, and to have a professional in his competitive field look at me and be like, your hard work is so valid. And we're celebrating this kind of, like, atmosphere and this hardworkingness. And we're not just looking for someone with a brain or someone that has the scores. We're looking for someone that's a whole person that cares about, like, the heart of the people. We're looking for someone that is smart enough to work around the things that are complicated or is willing to go to those places that other people are, like, kind of freaked out by. But we see that in you. And I'm really excited to add that to your application. Shook hands, and I, like, you know, confidently got up, walked out, and I was like, thank you so much for your time. It was great to meet you. Walked out of Starbucks, got in my car, and started, like, laugh crying about how perfect it was. And immediately I texted Sheila and, like, a few other people, and I was like, it couldn't have gone better. I don't know what to do. What's happening? And then just got home, explained the whole thing to my parents, and then went down to my room and played, like, 14 worship songs and cried my eyes out about it. So, yeah. Praying for that to keep going.
I think we all need to hang out with Grace more. I need some of that in my life. So the last couple of weeks with what I've been teaching about, and certainly not planned by me, every week someone has come up to me and shared something that they wanted to give a testimony about. We had Aaron a couple weeks ago, and Grace came up to me, Sheila came up to me after the service last week, and Grace had that interview last Saturday, so we were all praying for her, and she spoke to Sheila, and Sheila said, did you hear what happened with Grace? And I'm like, no, tell me. And so Sheila told me, and I'm just totally floored, because what happened with Grace is exactly what I'm talking about today. And I was like, she's the one to share next week. Basically, what I'm talking about today is we've been grinding through this Revelation chapter 12 verse about how we're in a battle down here and how we want God's kingdom, God's power, God, what God wants, his will, we want it down here. And how to show that, and I wanted to go through two parts of that today, but the main part is how to show the character of God. And to have someone say, you are your name, you are Grace, you're different, I can feel something different about you, is exactly how we're supposed to affect this world around us. So today I'm going to go through a little bit of review and then close it up. But if you don't remember anything else today, literally, if you want to leave now, you can. I'm good. I won't be upset. Maybe a little. No. Just remember what Grace just shared, to take that with you. Her love of the Lord and Him affecting her character and life, someone else realized, hey, you're different. Something special about you. And it overcame everything else. So, all right, let's get started. You can walk out at any time. It's great. Just go spread grace everywhere. That's fine. All right. The idea was Revelation chapter 12, through the blood of Christ, we've got salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God. Remember all of that? And the last couple weeks, we worked on the testimony of the word, of their word. So we highlighted some verses that go along with this. The first verse I want to go to is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. When the disciples asked Jesus how to teach them how to pray. And he said, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, praying for what God had in heaven, his will to be operating on earth like he wanted it to be. This is what I want you guys to pray for. This is what I want you to focus on. Now, in Christianity today, a lot of people have come up with the term or the understanding of what's called an open heaven, believing for an open heaven around us, that God would pour out more of himself, that kind of idea. And I understand that term. I understand what they mean and what they're saying by it. And I'm not saying bad on them or anything. I just want to say we already have an open heaven. We already have all we need for the kingdom of God and his will to operate through us right now. We already can go forward and not have to do this or do that to help battle for an open heaven. It's all right there. Let's go to the next scripture. I highlighted this one, John 1:51. This is when Jesus had started gathering disciples, and the fishermen were all talking to each other. And Nathanael and Philip got together, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus had a word of knowledge about one of them. And Philip was like, wow, you are the Lord. You are my Lord and my God. And Jesus was a little bit amazed, and he said, all I did was this, and you're already calling me God? Hold, get ready. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This idea of heaven coming down to earth, where was it located? It was located in Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, he didn't have to stop and pray for an open heaven. He was in constant communication with God and the Spirit. Whatever God told him to do, wherever he went, the open heaven went. And that's what he was saying. Look, we're about to see some amazing things. Come and follow me. This is going to happen. We talked about the ark over the last couple weeks. And remember last week when Fred spoke up and he's like, Lathan, you're listening to these things that were in the ark, the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the actual tablets of the covenant. And he said, every one of these things is Jesus. He is the bread of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is our actual, the word of God from John 1. And I held up my sheet and I said, Fred, those are my next 3 points. Way to go, man. You pass. All right? The ark of the testimony, all of that was involved in Jesus. All we have to do, the word of their testimony was the word of God, which is Jesus. And we highlighted that, all right? I also mentioned how Moses would go into the Holy of Holies, and when he was in there with the presence of God, he would come out, and his face would be so tan and so glowing, he had to wear a veil so the people around him could actually look at him. Terrence, bring up 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The whole context of that chapter is how much better our covenant is now than what Moses had. And the fact that Moses was in God's presence, it affected him so much that when he came out, it affected those around him. But we don't have to go to a certain place where there might be the presence of God with an open heaven. We have the Lord already, and we have the open heaven inside all of us by the Spirit. The only thing it asks us to do, it's already gone, look at that. But you have an open heaven, anyway. When we turn to the Lord, that's the only thing there. When we turn to the Lord, we're in His presence. When we turn to the Lord, what does it mean? It simply means acknowledging Him. Hey, Jesus, I need you. Hey, Holy Spirit, what can I do here? Hey, what are we going to do today? There's that verse in James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. The way is already open. We don't have to do anything to break through to heaven. We don't have to do anything we don't have to be right or appropriate necessarily. Most of the time when I call on God, it's because something's not right in my life or I haven't been appropriate. But when we turn to the Lord, it's all there, everything we need. Now, my heart has always been for earth to operate like heaven does. Well, when we pray for an open heaven, I think God looks at us and says, you're my open heaven on earth. You're there already. Here's what I've given you to do. Go for it. Remember, we looked at the scripture where Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do more than these. And we tend to focus on the supernatural miracles, which is awesome, great, and wonderful. I love all of them. I want more of them. Every day, I want more of them. But in looking at my own life, I am presented with many more things that are the choices I make and the emotions that I have on a daily basis than actually what we would call miracle opportunities. I am presented many more times in my life on a daily basis. Am I going to be self-oriented or am I going to be loving? Than with sick people coming to get prayed for. It happens all the time. But I have to make thousands of choices every day. What am I going to say to this person? Am I going to do it with kindness? Am I going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit or not? Am I going to be sacrificial in my life all day long? That's there. I have many more opportunities to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in my life than supernatural miracles. And if we look around at the world around us right now, I think what we might all say is, it would be much better if we could all exhibit the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. That would be miraculous. That would be supernatural compared to what is natural right now. How many times a day can I exemplify and model the fruit of the Spirit? That would be heaven on earth. That would be grace in operation all around us. And I think someone like that would stand out in a crowd. Let's look at Matthew 28:19-20. This is what some people call the Great Commission. I like it. I love it. Great thing. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's always with us. He is always with us. So when we get in that situation where someone comes to you for prayer and they need a miracle, your open heaven's already with you. Or when you come into that situation where you're talking to someone who you really don't like, your open heaven's already with you to show the fruit of the Spirit to that person. My favorite question among kids is, I know I have to love everybody, but do I have to like them? And I'm like, well, y'all on a daily basis, our patience is tested. Our goodness is tested. Our faith is tested. Our joy is tested. Overcoming those things in our lives is a witness to those around us. And that can change the world. That can change the world. Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, every time he did go out and do something for somebody, he was motivated by something. He wasn't motivated to see a sign and a wonder. That was not his motivation. His motivation was his love for people, his compassion. The feeding of the 5,000 wasn't Jesus saying, "Wow, I'm going to show you all something now. Look at this." It was he saw the people were tired, they were weary, and they didn't have something to eat. When you come from that source of motivation, you realize there's no way this can happen, but God, you through me can do this. And all the needs around us can be incredibly overwhelming. And that's when we need that, Jesus, I need you to be goodness for me right now. Holy Spirit, flood my soul right now, because I need, just like it said there in 2 Corinthians, from experience to experience, from glory to glory, I need to be transformed more into your image than who I am behaving like right now. And we have it all in him already. It's right there for us. Let's look at John 13, 34 and 35. This is John's a description of the Last Supper. And it starts out the chapter 13 with Jesus washing the disciples' feet and them saying, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And he said, "Look, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part of me, of what I'm doing, if you don't understand the humility and the servant nature of what the kingdom's about." And then he gets down to John 13, 34 through 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." In other words, you want heaven on earth? Show them that you're mine by loving each other. That's what we're looking for in an open heaven environment, where you and I, we are the open heaven. Jesus and his Spirit flowing through us, changing the world one by one. A little love here, a little love there. A miracle here, a miracle there. I would put forward to you that the salvation, a new creature in Christ, is the greatest miracle that we can ever have. Something reborn from being dead is an incredible miracle. And that person, over the rest of the course of their lives, showing Jesus to everybody, being the word of his testimony. All I know is, you can argue with me about God, but I can point at Grace over there and say, "I know there's a God. Look what he's doing in her life. I know there's a God. Look what he's doing in my life. I have joy now. I have peace now. I have hope now. And it's because I have him." What do you need? "I don't have silver and gold, but whatever I have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus." Just like Peter and John did at the gate. Imagine going out like that. "Lord, bring me something today where I can show heaven and your will to the people around me." I'm telling y'all, honestly, when we heard about Grace's experience, I think we all kind of expect things like this from God, but when they happen, we're like, "Wow, it really is true." I would like many more of those experiences, so that that becomes the natural, and we don't describe that as, "Wow, what a supernatural event." that becomes so natural, and we have so many of them that we can't keep up with them. That is what I would love to see. Not my will, but God, what's your will? Help it happen through me here. Help me see the miracle of me becoming kind. And not when it's easy, but when it's truly challenging. When it's truly challenging. Let's pray. Grace, would you come lead?
Father, thank you so much for everything you're doing in each of our lives, and the heart that you have for every person on this planet, Father. And I just want to thank you so much. It says in John 10:10, that you came so that we could have a real and eternal life, better and more amazing than we could ever have dreamed of. And I thank you so much that that is the core of your character, that's your heart over us. And I just ask that we would be able to receive every drop of that gift, that the joy that is would be our character, so that we could challenge other people into accepting that same amazing joy and faithfulness and goodness, Father, all the fruits of the Spirit that are you, and that we could really exhibit those things in our lives, and that our joy would be overflowing, and that you could be here in us, and we'd feel you as a friend and as a father, and that receiving these amazing good things would become something that's natural, Father. That we could get the validation that you hear every desire in our heart, and that we could get to know every desire in yours, so we can work together as this functioning and beautiful team. Thank you for everything that you're doing, and I just ask for more of that over DaySpring and over each individual, that you would help us manifest our dreams, and that we could help you manifest yours. In Jesus' name, amen.